A savior isn't going to mean much to us if we don't perceive our need of one. If we knew the huge weight of guilt and the potential wrath of God that lies upon us, and understood the incredible, eternal, immeasurable love of the Savior waiting, no longing actually to deliver us, I believe many more of us would be first in line to receive this Savior.
This is Mission 66, a daily dive into God's Word. I'm Rob Dempsey. Today, we continue our focus on the Gospels. Mission 66 originates from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor Dr. Luis Seau and is produced and heard in multiple languages around the world in partnership with Transworld Radio. Let me remind you to download your free study guide of the Gospels. You'll be able to go deeper into God's Word and follow along with each day's program. It's a great companion resource of the audio teaching of John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To get your free study guide of the Gospels, visit mission66.org. That's mission66.org. John Matthews is our teacher. His co-host, Esther Sisulu, gets us started today.
Today, we begin our study in the Gospel of Luke. And friend, we are about to enter into the world of the miraculous, the historic, and the true. Now, over 2,000 years have passed since the birth of the God-man, our Savior Jesus Christ, and yet in our highly mechanized and digitalized society filled with distractions, there is still a danger of forgetting foundational truths. Well, a proper understanding of first century events is still needed at this critical time in human history, and Luke will refresh our memory. Our teacher, John Matthews, opens up with today's theme, "Blessed is the child in your womb."
Esther, thank you so much. Good to be with you, and good to be with you listeners, wherever you are joining us for Mission 66 today. And an exciting day today because we're beginning our study of the third book in the New Testament of the Bible, the book of Luke. Now, Luke was not only a prominent physician of his day, but was also a journalist and a reporter. So he was a historian of the first rate, concerned with accuracy and true statements. He took nothing at face value, but carefully investigated and researched everything that he wrote about. And among those whom he interviewed were eyewitnesses of the birth, the life, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know, Luke was one of the most extraordinary writers of the New Testament, and his report is based upon the most trustworthy sources found in the first century. And Luke wrote at the beginning of his book this: "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." Now, you see here, Luke is writing to an individual whose name was Theophilus, so that he or anyone who read this may have affirmation of the reports about Jesus Christ, which Theophilus had apparently heard through the grapevine. And there was a real man who was called Theophilus living in the city of Antioch during the time of Luke. Now, Theophilus means lover of God in the Greek. Therefore, any lover of God can, if he wishes, substitute his own name as the one that Luke is writing to. And Luke begins with the reports regarding events leading up to and including Jesus' birth, and his written accounts are among the most detailed in the entire New Testament in the Bible. First, in verse 5, he tells us about the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had come to prepare the way, to come before and announce the coming of the Messiah. And I'm just paraphrasing this section because Luke tells us it all began with a priest whose name was Zechariah. He's married, is this priest Zechariah, to Elizabeth, and they both were already of an advanced age and they didn't have any children. But they were well known in their community for their piety and their integrity. And it so happens that Zechariah was attending to his priestly duties. There he was burning the incense in the inner sanctuary of the temple, when all of a sudden, to the right of the altar of incense, the angel of the Lord appears and says directly to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And the angel continues, saying that this boy would be set apart for God, even while he was still really young. So he wasn't going to drink wine or any fermented drink, and he would be full of the Holy Spirit even before he was born. And it also says he would lead many of the people of Israel back to the Lord God. Verse 17 says, "He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah." And here you have the fulfilling of a prophecy found in the Old Testament prophet Malachi that says that the one to prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah, would come with the spirit and power of Elijah. And Zechariah himself began to doubt, can this really be true? It's interesting, isn't it, my dear listeners, how a priest, someone who is used to sacred things, was in doubt when he heard the words of an actual angel appearing right next to him. And the angel then says, "Look, you're going to be mute because you didn't believe my words, and you will only speak again when it is the time." And Luke then tells us what will happen with Mary about 6 months later, who is actually Elizabeth's cousin. And she also receives a special word from God. Yes, this is the Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, servant of the Lord. You can follow along and see what it says next in verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." My dear listeners, this is what is referred to as the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel visited Mary and announced that she was to bear the Messiah. The time had come then when God would intervene in history to bring salvation to humanity. And he begins with the birth of John the Baptist and then points to the blessed child in Mary's womb. This is Jesus. And Mary's astonished at everything that she was hearing. "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" she asked. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Those words from Mary are incredible, aren't they? Because they are filled with a confidence that only comes from the Spirit of God. She could have been anxious and afraid, but listen to that. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." That's what happens when God's Spirit fills us. It gives us a confidence and a peace that cannot exist without it. And as Luke continues, we're going to see Mary going off to visit Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth hears Mary's voice or hears Mary's greeting, the baby, this is incredible to see how God does things that are beyond our understanding. The baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear." So in other words, and as we've heard before, and it's our theme here, blessed is the child in your womb, Jesus Christ. And Elizabeth goes on, "But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth somehow recognising that Mary was about to bear the Messiah. And here Mary begins to sing a song of praise to God. It's called the Magnificat, found in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through to 55. And it's important that we listen to her words and learn with them. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." You see, Mary knows that she is a sinner. She knows that she's a regular person, someone with no importance or relevance in the community. And she was amazed because God had chosen to act through her in an incredibly special way. And now she says, "For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." And goes on to reveal how God is about to show his power, exalt the humble, bring down the haughty, and be the helper of Israel, as he promised the patriarchs all the way back to Abraham. And so here we have perhaps the most famous and important woman in Holy Scripture, Mary, the one who had the privilege of giving birth to the Saviour Jesus. And Luke then tells us of the birth of John the Baptist. And I'm going to paraphrase here, but John the Baptist is born and was set to be circumcised on the eighth day according to the law of Moses. But his father, Zechariah, still couldn't speak. They don't know what name to give the child, but Zechariah writes down the name of the baby. This is what he writes. His name is John, and that was according to the instructions given to him by the angel of the Lord. And once the name's given to the boy, then Zechariah is able to speak again. And he really bursts forth because he's filled with the Holy Spirit and prophecies. "Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has redeemed and visited his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And so we see here the birth of John the Baptist, the promise that God made to Elizabeth, was fulfilled. And a similar promise was also made to Mary. And God, you know, doesn't always act in ways that we expect. Often he doesn't. Nor does he necessarily use people of great wealth, status, or fame. Here was a simple young woman, a relative unknown, to whom the grace of God reached out to bring forth the Saviour into the world. And once again, we hear the echo of the words said to that young woman in Israel, "Blessed is the child in your womb, who is Jesus Christ."
This is Mission 66, and we're on a study in the books of the Bible. Well, today we're looking at the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, John, it's my understanding that Luke was a prominent man, but was not one of the apostles. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right, Esther. Well, not an original apostle, Luke was a chief player, though, in the early church. And being a historian and an accomplished journalist, he wrote Luke and the book of Acts, which together contain more words than the work of any other author, actually, in the New Testament. That's the entire New Testament. Well, Luke was also a doctor, a physician, and as we find in the book of Acts, he becomes one of Paul's companions. Possibly he tended to Paul's illnesses. Also, being a physician, he was able to add certain details as well about the healings that took place in Jesus' ministry, and also detail about Christ's suffering on the cross that were not covered in the other Gospels. And it's also important, I think, to point out that Luke, even though he was not an apostle, was under what we would call apostolic authority. That's being under the authority of Paul himself. Now, what most scholars, after researching, suggest here is that when Paul arrived back from his third missionary journey, he ended up being arrested in Jerusalem and was then taken to Caesarea, and Luke was with him. And during this time period, Paul was imprisoned for 2 years, whilst Luke did extensive research on the whole matter. And surprisingly, Esther, this work that Luke performs is actually what we could call an apologetic work, with the intention of proving that Christianity was not a threat to the Roman Empire, but rather a blessing. And he favours in his writings those in need and also the women. And get this, it seems that the initial document was financed by a wealthy Christian who'd been converted not long past, and his name was none other than Theophilus. And so the very name mentioned at the beginning of Luke and in the book of Acts as well is Theophilus. So even though Luke was not an apostle, the participation and the supervision of an apostle guarantees that Luke's writings are inspired and worthy of inclusion in the New Testament.
So I noticed that we went through the events leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. But what was the importance of telling us the story of the birth of John the Baptist?
Well, as we'll see when we get to that point here on Mission 66, the Old Testament ends with the prophet Malachi, who details many moral failures, as we could say, of both Israel and Judah, and yet with promises that God would still bring forth salvation for them. And one of the things that Malachi wrote is a promise that one day Elijah would come and set things straight. But this Elijah mentioned in Malachi was not Elijah himself, literally speaking. It would be the one who would come in the spirit of Elijah to call people to repentance and prepare the way for the Messiah. And as the conception of Jesus was miraculous by means of the Holy Spirit, well, the birth of John was also miraculous in that his mother was over 80 years of age when she conceived. And so it was fitting that her son would be the one who foretold the coming of the Christ.
Oh, some great information to cling on to as we study Luke 1. Well, I'm looking at verse 28, John. Mary is called blessed and highly favored and is often referred to as the mother of God. But the question is, does this give her a higher standing than the son that she bore? I mean, what exactly is the position of Mary in the whole scheme of God's plan of salvation?
Well, we have here, Esther, an account of the mother of our Lord, fathered not by man, nor by the will of man, but by God, the Creator God who formed the worlds, would certainly be able to father a child through a woman without the help of a man whenever he wants to. Yet he did it just this one time. And in this case, God accomplishes it through the agency of the Holy Spirit. So in order to be sinless, Christ had to be born miraculously, so as not to have the child in any way infected with the sin that had been passed down through man since the Garden of Eden. Now, the angel Gabriel's address, greetings or hail, means only hail you that are the especially chosen and favoured of the Most High to attain the honour of bearing the Messiah. Now, Jewish mothers had long desired to be the one who was picked to become that mother. But she was not above the rest of humanity. She, like us, awaits judgment at the final day. And the grace that was shown to her is the same grace that is shown to anybody who repents of their sin and believes on the Son. And so this phrase, Mother of God, does not imply that Mary was divine, as some people think, or that Mary necessarily had to have some divinity in her for this to be able to happen. Remember, Jesus said, whoever believes on me has everlasting life. Didn't say whoever believes on my mother. But even though we're not to pray to Mary, we certainly ought to praise God and thank God for her. Honor is due her. She was a remarkable woman in many ways, and she was, in a very real sense, the mother of God the Son, but she was not the mother of God the Father. And so we don't have to consider her a mediator, because Christ himself and him alone has cleared the way for us to go directly to God in his name. And so we're to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved.
Well, I love how earlier on you mentioned Mary's song, the Magnificat. I see here she also refers to God as my Savior.
Yeah, she recognizes, doesn't she, that salvation comes from God and not from herself. And this allows us to know that she was a sinner, just like the rest of us, and needed to be saved. And you know, a Savior isn't going to mean much to us if we don't understand our need of one. If we understood the huge weight of guilt and the potential wrath of God that lies upon us, and also understood the incredible, eternal, immeasurable love of a Savior waiting, no, actually longing to deliver us, I then believe many more of us would be first in line to receive the Savior. And Mary's reply to the angel was simply the language of faith and humble admiration, and you know, we should copy her in this.
She definitely is an example in that regard. Well, thank you so much, John. We've come to the end of our study today. So how can we conclude this chapter, which in effect kind of amounts to the first part of the Christmas story?
Yeah, it does. You're right. Well, here on Mission 66 today, we've studied chapter 1 of Luke. And our theme for the day was, blessed is the child in your womb. And we have this very trustworthy account here told by Dr. Luke, the historian, about the birth of John the Baptist, who announced the coming of the Messiah, and the appearance of the angel Gabriel, who also announced to Mary the soon-to-be birth of the Saviour Jesus. And what surprises us, perhaps, in this whole story is how God often chooses people who were considered of little importance in the political and socio-economic context of that time. And as Luke continues in his gospel, we're going to see how Almighty God chose to bring salvation into the world and to spread his fame to the world using regular human beings like Mary, John the Baptist. And you know, he'll also use you and me if we just ask and put our trust in him.
Well, it's good to know that we can be counted as those that God will use. Well, friend, that's how we wrap up today's Mission 66. We still have a long and interesting road ahead of us. So please join us next time, same place, same time, as we read about the first Christmas from Luke chapter 2. Until then, goodbye and God bless you.
That wraps up today's episode of Mission 66 with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. Follow their daily teaching by downloading your free study guide of the Gospels at mission66.org. Go deeper into God's Word and discover how each day's teaching can apply to your life. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Download your free study guide at mission66.org and have it for our next program. That's also where you can leave a comment or make a donation to continue Mission 66 here and around the world. That's mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau. I'm Rob Dempsey.